Blog Talk Radio.
Pour yourself a cup of tea, put your feet up, and relax. Show host Randy Fine, narcissistic abuse expert, compassionate counselor for clients worldwide, and author of the groundbreaking new book, Close Encounters of the Worst Kind, invites you into her sanctuary, a place where your emotional, physical, and spiritual well-being are all that matters. Time to Heal is a fundraising single written and performed by Johnny Z for the Amy Winehouse Foundation. For more information, please go to johnnymusic.com, johnnymusic.com. And now, it's time to meet Randy, show host of the podcast enjoyed by fans around the globe, A Fine Time for Healing.
Good morning. Thank you for tuning in to listen to A Fine Time for Healing. This is your show host, Randy Fine. I have a very, very touching story for you today. You're going to really enjoy listening to my guest. And for those of you who are listeners of my shows because of the narcissistic abuse platform that I have, this will hit home for some of you, and you'll see why shortly. But all in all, it is a beautiful story. My guest today is author Sharla Miller, who is the author of Wonder and Beauty, My Journey from Heartbreak to Healing Through the Wonder of Horses. This is a story about a mother's choice to quit fighting in the courtroom after years of custody battle, resulting in parental alienation and the eventual abduction of her only child. While writing her book, the author continued to move forward with the hope that one day she would reunite with her son. And one morning in the early hours, a dream about reunification with her son came to her, and she turned it into a chapter of the book. She's going to tell us the story today about what exactly happened after that dream. Sharla Miller is the founder of BeautyHealsYou.com, a website and blog that integrates emotional and physical beauty. As a makeup and hair artist, she shows women how to take care of their skin and shows them how to bring out their full beauty through the use of simple makeup and hair techniques. So let's get started. Let me introduce my special guest to you today. Good morning, Sharla. Welcome.
Good morning, Randy. How are you?
I'm doing really well. We actually are having the threat of a hurricane barreling towards our city, but I don't worry about that kind of stuff because it usually veers off. So. Anyway, but we're doing great.
Oh, my gosh. Okay.
It's okay. Good. It's okay. I live in South Florida. It's expected, but we haven't had one in 12 years, so I'm okay. Anyway.
Okay.
Sharla, you have an incredible story to tell. Why don't we start with you telling how all this started? What prompted this journey?
Well, let me start from around the time that the book began. I had spent many years, probably close to 7 years, in post-divorce custody battles. Both my ex-husband and I had joint legal custody of my son, and You know, at the time, Randy, I knew nothing about parent alienation. I didn't know what it was. I just knew that I was in a really tough spot in the years of my post-divorce years. Things seemed to be, you know, okay, I guess, for what that was, our status quo. But we eventually had over 200 lawsuits, going back and forth for every conceivable and fictitious story that could be made. And, you know, I really thought at one point in time things would smooth out, things would become sort of, you know, separate and normal, as many divorces do, and those types of things, but it didn't. It actually ramped up. So in about 2007, my father passed away, and he was really my one family member that was sort of my protector. And after my father passed away, I also was a California real estate agent, had a successful business. And between my father passing away and then the global crash in 2008-09, that really, I really came to an end and then a new beginning, though at the time it certainly didn't feel like a beginning. I sort of flatlined, tsunami, whatever you want to call it. But for those of your listeners that have had those times in their lives where you can't even breathe because of all of the horror that seems to be happening or that is happening in your life, the last piece of that was then me falling apart and then my ex-husband taking advantage of that, though the courts did not ever give him custody. We still continue to have joint legal custody, though my son is of age today. He just stopped taking care. He stopped, you know, following any of the legal documents and then finally abducted him. So that's where this story of healing through horses begins. I had no history of being with horses, though. As a little girl, like a lot of little girls, we loved horses, and I loved horses, and I used to go rent them when I had the money, the allowance, or the money to go rent them and go ride them, just be around them and smell and just be around horses. But I didn't come from a family that had any horses or had any of that kind of history. So after I decided to stop fighting in the courts, I had gone through every bit of my savings and retirement. The market crashed, my house was foreclosed on, and there came a time that I sat on a train track near my house, and I just asked God, what do you want me to do? I was at a point where I was suicidal. I couldn't fight for my son anymore. And the feeling within me, which is within all of us, I believe, is to survive and really thrive, said, it's time for me to leave. And I thought, this is the craziest thing. Had it not been for one of my doctors, my therapist, that in her, one of our sessions said, I fear for your life. I want you to hear me. And I was the one person I trusted. You know, there wasn't anybody else in that, in my world, with the exception of just a couple of very close friends that I trusted. And she said, I want you to pack your bags. I want you to get as far away from here as you can, and I want you to start your life over again. Because my fear is that you're going to be thrown in jail on a trumped-up charge, and it's a dream that I had, and this is all I can do for you. And so you can understand, not only had all this taken place, but then the one doctor, the one person that I really felt had all of my best interests at heart, tells me to leave my son, stop fighting in the courts, take all of my belongings, whatever I had left, and leave, was the epitome of insanity, and yet I had been living in insanity. Mm-hmm. And yet in her wise counsel, I knew she was right. So within a week, I put all my belongings in my paid-for car. I drove back up to where my son was born and where my happier times were in my life. And that even seemed, you know, bizarre and strange to those that were knowing what I was going through and yet really watching from the sidelines if I was just going to leave this life. And I went back to San Francisco, where my son was born, where I had happier times, to go back and touch that time where things were great and normal, I guess. You know, you have both of those sides of your life. It's like, was it really great and normal? But for me, I had to go back and recreate from the time my son was born to live and grow into the life that I'm here talking from you, you know, with today, the life that I'm living today. And that's where wonder and beauty begins.
You know, it amazes me. I just wanted to say quickly, it amazes me how strong the human spirit truly is. We just don't know it until we're tested. But, okay. So so you were saying.
You're right. Yeah. You're right, Randy. I mean, we, you know, we were just talking with some friends last night. Our souls are indomitable. That's the word that I come up with, because I found something within myself that I knew nothing about until this whole series of events continued, you know, happened. But you're absolutely right. I venture back. It took me about 10 hours. I had $400 in my pocket. I had just done a garage sale the day before, and that was the only money I had. I owed the IRS money because I had to pay off my ninth attorney. And then I continued to pay off the IRS because that was the relinquishment of all my retirement. So I get back to San Francisco. I go back to the birthplace of where my son was, where I raised him the first couple of years before my marriage fell apart. And I went back and I looked at that house as if what happened to me was I that same woman sitting in this car staring at my old house. And piece by piece and month by month and week by week, I was guided as a, you know, as a shattered mother, woman, daughter, and recreating and bringing back every piece within myself that had just been shattered through these circumstances. I got a room to rent within 6 days. I got a job down at the town center in Corte Madera, California. For those of your listeners that know that part of Northern California, it's beautiful. It's Marin. It's north of San Francisco. And the room that I was led to literally overlooked the San Francisco Bay and the yacht clubs. It was in Tiburon. I mean, I went from complete flatline crash to within 2 weeks being able to set myself up in these places and then just start again. And that's when my healing began. I then went to the library. I had no cable. I had none of the things that many of us deem as just, you know, standard and normal. And I was on food stamps for a while before I could make enough money to go back and not have to have any aid. That had never happened to me in my life. I started to rent books, and I started to rent a lot of movies. I was in the film business in Hollywood, as you mentioned. I'm still a makeup and hair artist, so I'm no longer in the L.A. and Hollywood area. And I started to rent books about horses, and I noticed that within the context for me, when I watched these movies, one was Dreamer by Disney, one was Secretariat, and then one was the movie, it was a documentary named Buck. And it was his story. Buck Brenneman is a man that's a horseman, natural horseman. He travels and he does clinics all over the country. And guess what? I live here in Idaho. Within 10 minutes of people that I now take natural horsemanship classes through that know Buck Brenneman personally.
Wow.
There are no mistakes.
Right. No mistake.
So going back to that, I understood. It was odd. I understood that every time I watched these films about horses, I would come I would calm down. It was like a complete decompress for me. And I didn't understand the physiological aspect of it, but what I did was I just kept watching them. One day I got on my computer and I got on Google and I just Googled horses and healing. I knew nothing about what equine therapy was. And all of a sudden, you know, you press on, you click on one tab and it opens up a world. And it opened up the world of equine therapy. Knew nothing about it. I began to research therapists in my area, which was in Northern California. One thing led to another. And the next thing I knew is it led me to a woman in the outer skirts of the Point Reyes Station area, which is as far in inlet. It's almost like the womb, like the belly of God, in the middle of the most beautiful area of Northern California. And I ended up at her ranch one day. I was supposed to take a weekend workshop. I saved every dime I had in order to do it. And all the other women backed out of that weekend workshop called The Wonder of Being, except for me. And that afternoon, in her pasture, in folded up plastic chairs, I started to tell my story. But I didn't just start to tell my story. The rage and the anger and the fear and just the vile nature of what lived in me from this story and atrocity and grief and shame started to just spew out of me. Her horses, she had a herd of horses, and they were, I would say, a football field away or more, just grazing, doing what horses do, eat and roam and graze and talk to each other and do what they do. And all of a sudden, she turned over to the right of her shoulder, and she saw these horses rear up and buck and jump around and go into each other. And I didn't know what was going on, and she looked at me, and she went, wow. They knew, they felt, they were interpreting this emotion that was just pouring out of me. That was the beginning of my equine therapy. That was the beginning of understanding that our energy, like I'm sort of tearing up right now, and I've gone through this story for years now, and I'm on a much happier side and certainly a healing side of this. But that's when I understood that if someone was two football fields away, they still see and feel what you're feeling. They may not know it, but the horses did. So that began my journey with healing through horses.
Well, that is so incredible. And I've actually heard, you know, that horses, how healing they can be. And I had a horse whisperer, I think, come on one time, you know, to talk about the kind of things that horses actually think and talk about. And it was just so amazing to me. So although it is so surprising and enlightening to hear it, you know, it almost didn't surprise me, but I'm sure it surprises a lot of other people that the horses were reacting to your emotions this way. Let me just back up a little bit. And, you know, parental alienation is absolutely horrendous for everyone. And pretty much everyone who has a child and divorces a narcissist is going to go through it. And the instinct of how to handle it is always wrong, because dealing with a narcissist is counterintuitive. What you think you should do is exactly opposite of what you should actually do. So there's no way to really know how to handle this. And I'm so sorry that you ended up losing so much, especially your beautiful little boy, through this. I cannot even imagine the pain. But there was something that was leading you, and that's what's so important in healing, is that we look for the signs and we follow them even where when we don't know where they're going. And it's so perfectly clear in your story. So, yes. So, for 18 years, well, I don't know, how old was your son when he was abducted by your ex-husband?
He was abducted at 11.
Okay. So, for 7 years, basically, you heard nothing from him?
with one exception. In 2012, I had a girlfriend, a dear friend in Texas. She's a tech woman, and she listened to my story. She knew, you know, my story, where we lived, and we're still very good friends today. And she mentioned to me, she said, "Have you ever thought of writing a blog to my son?" And I said, "No," because I was, you know, Randy, I wasn't tech savvy, and I thought you had to be, and more important than that, I was afraid to sort of come out and be heard because of all the threats that had been made if I, you know, continued just to be a mother, be a woman.
Yes. Right.
And so I had all of that, and that certainly put me into I was living a life of post-traumatic stress disorder. I recognize that now. At the time, you know, post-traumatic stress disorder, a lot of it is, you know, labeled for those men and women that have gone to war, but I had been through a war. And so many of your listeners can relate to that, as so many readers of Wonder and Beauty reach out to me with the same story. So in 2012, we created a blog. One night I heard my son's voice tell me, "Never give up, Mom." It was a command. Never give up, Mom, because I was close to giving up again. I hadn't heard from him, and so that's what the blog name became. It's a WordPress blog. It's nevergiveupmom.com. I started to write him from 2012, and I continue on today, though we have a relationship, and the blog's energy and mission and intention has changed. I know I have mothers following me from all over the globe where this is their situation, and they just have seen my story unfold. So I created Never Give Up Mom, and I started to write him once a month, and it was the most excruciating thing I could do. But I knew that once I wrote it, I had a sense of relief because I created a place where I could start to take my power back and give my son the information that I was alive, that I loved him, that I never gave up on him, in little things. So, you know, I always say it this way. Some people say, I talk about my book, The Divine, you know, Grace, God. To me, it's all the same thing. And I had guidelines that God gave me. Like, when you write this, if you don't want to go into a place where you could be, you know, in litigation again, you know, we're going to stay in this format. And the format that was told to me was, talk about your love for him, my son. So I'm like, well, okay, do I just keep saying that over and over again? Everyone's like, hi, I love you, hi, I love you. No, it's like, talk about what's going on in your life. And there were posts that I posted that had a sense of anger and injustice, and that's when I knew I was getting better. When I wasn't just in that really low-level black depression,
right.
Hopeless.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting that you say that, because so many people that I work with, I say to them, are you angry about what happened to you? And they say, no, I don't want to be angry.
Mm-hmm.
And I explain to them that the anger is the step right before full acceptance. You have to get angry at what happened to you.
Yes. Yes.
So it's very it's interesting to hear you say that, and that reinforces it for my listeners. So thank you.
Yes, and even more than that, I believe I've read a lot of different doctors' books and information on forgiveness, but anger, and this is my example, this is my experience, anger is essential to raising your vibration for you to be able to take the pieces of you that have been relinquished or even destroyed and bring them back together. We must have a voice, even if it's just on words and in ourselves. And one night, I think it was 3 years into writing Never Give Up Mom, I got, and I couldn't figure out WordPress all the time, and one night, I received a message in my comment section, and it was sort of in code. It was at 3-something a.m. in the morning, and I had just written that post about I thought my son was in the 11th grade, but apparently he was in the 10th grade. So I believe this came from my son because it was from his email link. And it said, no, not 11th grade, 10th grade, and fun videos.
Wow.
Yeah, that's exactly the reaction I got. I sat up all night. My head was spinning. I looked at it. What is it? Is it from him? Is it a joke? Is it, you know, something else? Is it, you know, from somebody else? And I re-looked at it. And in my heart, Randy, I knew it had come from him. So this is the piece, if any of your listeners are in a situation of parent alienation and abduction where you have done everything you could possibly do and then some, and you're in that space where you're beginning to give up on yourself, hear this one thing. If you have a heart connection, you had a heart connection with your child, and you love that child, it can never go away. It can never be dissolved. It can never be broken, and it will never be relinquished. That proved it that night. And I thought, what is this 10th grade, not 11th grade? I mean, it was there. It was proof.
Yeah, absolutely. So amazing. And, you know, as I was reading your book and reading your story and everything and hearing how you reconnected, which we'll talk about next, with your son.
Okay.
I couldn't help feeling as if the love from him was so strong all along. And so then listeners may say, well, then why didn't he reach out to you? Well, in a parental alienation situation, the children are threatened, and often they're threatened that if they do reach out to their mother or their father, whatever, that person will be hurt or killed. So the threats are so severe that even though the child wants to reach out, he or she fears doing so. So right after he turned 18, you heard from him.
Yes.
Can you tell us about what that was like?
Yes, I was in the midst of writing Wonder and Beauty, and I had a dream. I was woken up again at 3 o'clock in the morning, but this time I wasn't woken up with the ruminating of, like, my to-do list and things that I should have done or things that I need to do the next day. It was a command. It was another command. It was like, never give up, Mom. This was a command of, I'm here. I'm here, and I want to show you how something's going to unfold. I mean, I was driven out of my bed. And I don't like waking up at 3 in the morning. And I went to the computer, and I just started writing what had been downloaded in my dream. And in that dream came into reality less than a week after I pressed send and published my book. In the dream,
wow.
I go back to where my son and I used to go to this little video arcade in our house, or in the city of Ventura, California. I walk into the video arcade. I had been separated from him, but I walk into the video arcade, and I see all the same games and the noises and the kids and, you know, all that sort of thing going on. And all of a sudden, I turn into a corner, or I turn into another room, and I see him. I see my son in my dream. He's older than when he left, when he was abducted. And I look at him, and all of a sudden he looks at me. So all these boys that are playing this video arcade, and they're all intense, and they're looking at that, and all of a sudden he turns to me, and he just looks at me, and I feel acknowledged by him. And I was shocked, and he was calm, and then he went back to playing the games with the boys, and I continued to walk on through another room. While I walk in through another room, he grows up, and he's older. He's in his mid to late teenage years. And he looks at me and he's very, very calm. It's a slower pace. It's a longer gaze. It's a longer acknowledgement. It's a connection. It's a real connection. Hi, I'm also here, Mom. That's how I felt in this dream. I then go ahead and go out the back door, which is where, I mean, this place still exists down in Ventura. I go out the back door. I'm starting to get hungry, for whatever reason. I'm getting hungry. I'm looking for the hot dog stand that was there, but it's no longer there. And all of a sudden, out in the back, it's just not this little hot dog stand and this go-kart place. It's a whole carnival and a whole world of a brighter, you know, food stands and, you know, an adult, more of an adult type setting than a video arcade for kids. And as I turn around the corner, I smell the smell of fish. And I didn't know what it was, fish and french fries or fish and chips or something. It was just like, oh, that's exactly what I would want. And as I'm walking down this white picket fence where these vendors and these quarters are, a young man, grown, is standing and staring straight at me. And it was my son. This actually takes place within a week after me sending, you know, send, yes, let's publish, we're finished with Wonder and Beauty. This takes place in Northern California. I had to, at this point in time, I had gotten in touch with, or my son had gotten in touch with me 52 hours after he turned 18. He texted me on a private text, which I won't reveal because it still remains private today. I didn't even know I could get a text this way. And we continue to talk today. Within the time that I published Wonder and Beauty and the time that I left Northern California was the first time I saw him since he was 11, with one other small exception when I took 3 minutes to kind of ask his principal that I could see him before I left the Ventura County area. We sat, my son and I, my spouse, my fiance, and my son's friend, he brought his friend, sat in a arcade-like place, white picket fence, ate burgers and fries and salads, and sat for 2 hours. It was almost the antithesis of that dream.
That's absolutely amazing. Amazing. Wow. So, I mean, your story gives so much hope to other people. But, you know, like I said before, you paid attention to what was being shown to you, and you followed it, and you were led into exactly where you needed to be at every point in time. So what did your son, did he talk at all about his past, or did you just start from the present and move forward?
We just started from the present, and I'd still continue to do therapy with my equine therapist, not always with the horses. Most of the time is cognitive therapy. And I want to go back 1 second and thank you for mentioning this, because I had had this inkling, this heart inkling for a long time, like, why didn't my son reach out? Though I did remember incidences of him saying things about, you know, things that could happen to him if he did something in his family, the family that had taken him. And I always had this thought, Randy, that maybe my son couldn't reach out to me because of what may happen to him and also what may happen to me.
Yes. Yes.
And I've never heard anybody say that until just now, until in this interview. And you know what? That thought has been following me around for a very long time now. So thank you for verbalizing that.
You're welcome. Yes, alienators, parental alienators, narcissistic parental alienators use, they terrorize the children. They create such a fear that the children never want to betray them, betray their trust, or try to escape, or try to contact the other parent. In your case, you happen to be lucky, and I'll explain why.
Okay.
In many cases, the alienator will poison the child's mind to a point where they absolutely despise the parent that they're being alienated from. And sometimes that is never healed. Sometimes that will go on for a lifetime, and parents never get their child back because of all the anger and the resentment from the lies that have been told.
Yes.
Your son remained loving throughout this entire time and waited for the exact moment when he could reunite with you. And that is so amazing. And then again, it talks about his spirit, the strength of his spirit,
yeah,
to not be completely taken over by this thing.
Well, because in the beginning he was very poisoned, and I would get vile texts, and I never knew if they were coming from him or the people that he lived with, you know, and the threats that came on, and if that didn't work, then there was even more terror that reigned on my life based on the fact that I wasn't willing to give up.
Okay. So I think, based on you telling me that, it was your blog. It really was your blog that softened his heart. You know, and there are ways that you can soften their heart, and that was brilliant. Whoever advised you to do it and however you did it, that was an absolutely brilliant move, and look what the outcome was.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was
so
spirit.
I'm going to actually use this in my therapy, you know, when I talk to other people, because I just love how you handled this and how well it worked. I suggest other strategies, but this one is brilliant.
Well, can I add in one small technical caveat here?
Sure.
Do you know? I mean, we're just doing this interview together, but if you had a bunch of pictures with me, Randy, and stories about me, and you started talking about me, just putting it out there on a blog, and you said Charlotte Miller and Randy Fine, and we did this and we did that, and you post pictures, do you know that in a very short period of time, your SEO, your search engine optimization, and other factors now will start to put you and me together? So if I were to Google images of Charlotte Miller, you and I, if you did it enough, will come up. No one can erase what Google, and I believe God, will do, as long as it is for, in the sake of love.
Wow.
That's the technical caveat.
That is so important to know. Wow, this show is just, it's way more important than I even imagined it could be. So, you know, we have about like 4 or 5 minutes left to talk. So now, where do you stand with your son? Have you gotten together?
My partner and I drove from our home in Idaho. We went to go see him again in the Northern California area. We had lunch, shared a pizza, you know, normal stuff. I would have loved to have seen him again, but he had tests and tutors and whatever else he had going on that next day. It's always difficult, and I want to say the reality of this, it's always just heart-wrenching for me to just see him for a couple of hours, and then it does take me a couple of weeks to get back to center again, get back to me, everything's okay, everything is in place, because I am the parent still. And he is counting on me being strong and me being centered, not being needy and clingy and trying to recreate what happened, recreate 8 years that I can't do, that he can't do. So I keep it real easy, but the thing that he said to me, and I want the readers to hear this, or your listeners to hear this, one day he asked me a question. I thought this is where this whole unfolding was going to happen for him. And he said, can I ask you a question? This is all in text. Sometimes he'll call, but he's never around his house, and it's always late at night. And so I said, of course you can ask me anything. I thought, okay, here we go, right? You know what he asked me? He asked me a question about how he should handle a situation with his girlfriend, because he knew that he had messed up in some ways, but he really wanted to do the right thing. And I remember the same question came from him when he was in the fourth grade, and he fell in love with a little girl in the fourth grade. It's the story of his heart. He says, I don't ask too many people about this because it's really private, but he trusted me.
Oh, my gosh. Wow. I relate to that, you know, because I have a son, a grown son, who does that with me. And every time
he does it,
oh, my gosh, it touches my heart so deeply that he wants
to
trust me.
So you know your connection.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So how is he doing psychologically and mentally and emotionally?
You know, that's a tough one for me to answer, and the best answer would be for me to say I don't really know. there's things like you're a mother of a grown son. You kind of know when they're off or they're lost. You can feel it. It's a feeling.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I always check in and I always say, hey, honey, like the other day, yesterday, hey, honey, how are you? How are you doing? Haven't heard from him, you know. We actually had a very long thread in this private messaging service that, like I said, it will remain private for me and him. I think that there are times that he's doing really well, but I think he's 19 today. So he's 19. He's going into a sophomore year. He has some passions. Like basketball. He loves basketball. He loves filmmaking. Interesting, right? I came from the film business. And he loves telling stories. So I always try and support him in that way. And all I can continue to do is say, anytime you want to come here, you know, I'll fly you up. I'll fly you and a friend up, you know, or we can come down there and see you. I'm here. I'm available. I can't answer that question fully.
Okay. Oh, gosh. Well, thank you, Charlotte, for sharing this incredibly beautiful story. Your story is amazing, and I'm so glad that you took the time to write it. And to my listeners, it's written beautifully. Very, very touching
thank
story.
You.
So for someone who did not have that experience, you wrote a beautiful, beautiful book. And I want to thank you for being my guest, for sharing your story, and also for giving some hope to those people who are in similar situations that are feeling very hopeless. This is a beacon of light, and I will love sharing this with others. So thank you so much for being with me.
You're welcome. And if your readers or your listeners both want to see my 5-minute book trailer, do you want to send them to my website or?
Okay. Yes.
My website's name is Beauty.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
My website's name is beautyhealsyou.com, as in HEALS, healsyou.com. You can see the 5-minute book trailer for Wonder and Beauty. And if any of your listeners are in the San Francisco area this month, I'll be doing an event at Book Passages Ferry Building location on September the 16th, and that's at 3:30. I'd love to meet any of your listeners and followers and would be happy to sign a book. I'll be doing a reading, Q&A, and also showing my book film again.
Okay, perfect. And the blog is Never Give Up Mom. So.
Nevergiveupmom.com.
So I urge all of you to visit that if this is something that you relate to personally. So I have to say goodbye, but I'm very touched. This was a great show. Thank you so much again. I appreciate you being
Randy,
with me.
Randy, thanks for the opportunity. God bless.
Yes. Same to you. So we are out of time for today, but if you have any comments or questions about today's show, you can email me at loveyourlife@randygfine.com. That's RANDIGFINE.com. And I hope you will join me next time for more of A Fine Time for Healing. This Friday is the day that I will take your calls and answer your questions about your narcissistic abuse issues. This Friday, 11 a.m. Eastern Time. May joy and serenity always be yours. Goodbye.
We hope you enjoyed today's programming. To learn more about Randy Fine, read her articles, or to make a counseling appointment with her, please visit randygfine.com. That's RANDIGFINE.com. Or visit her on Facebook at Randy G. Fine.